before I left, I had a steak, and it was a steak pie with Stilton cheese in it.
Come on, steak pie and Stilton before a game of football. What are you doing, you know?
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again, and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for football referees of all levels. You can now listen to our weekly podcasts every Friday from 5 p.m. on the website, refereesworld.co.uk, or your podcast provider, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podomatic, or whichever podcast preference you have. Don't forget, we have the YouTube channel where we upload the podcast there as well. And we've now started to introduce a few little intros from some of the guests that appear on the show as well. Just go to YouTube, subscribe and like the channel and do whatever it is that you do to make sure that you know about us when we've got a new episode out. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a Level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is Richard Mellon, who over the years has gained legendary status in his role as a PGMOL assessor. No, you're not an assessor. You're now an observer. A PGMOL observer. This is going well, Rich, isn't it? And the Southwest Pool Observer Coordinator. Anyway, welcome. Hello, and thanks very much for listening. Rich.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Do you know what? I'm okay. I'm okay. Let's just give a quick sense of time and day. Today is the 7th of April. We've just gotten over the Easter holiday weekend, bank holiday weekend, and we're going to go into this in this particular episode of the Referees World podcast. My first game back after lockdown, Rich.
The restart.
Wonderful. So before we continue, I think we need to just very quickly mention Rebecca Welch, who has made history on the Monday just gone by, bank holiday Monday, because she became the first ever female referee at a league game. She took on Harrogate Town and Port Vale. She's already done a women's FA Cup final as well. And what an achievement, Rich.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful. I mean, it's a milestone in itself. And in my opinion, long overdue. And good luck to Rebecca. I do hope she has an enjoyable career as a Football League referee.
My understanding is, I was reading a bit about her just ahead of the game, and there was some suggestion. I think she's been refereeing now for about 11 years, 10, 11 years. And a friend of hers took up the whistle, and she said, OK, if you're going to do it, so am I. And that's the reason how she got into it.
Right. No, I hadn't heard that bit of the story. I've read quite a bit of background as regards build up to the game, you know, and the days before and everything. So, you know, that's all there. And I'm sure a lot of people have read all that update, but don't know enough. Now, I don't think I've ever met Rebecca, but I've probably been in a meeting with her at some stage.
So this really does open up the doors and open up the floodgates, doesn't it?
Oh, sure it does. You know, I can go back over a few years as regards female referees that were coming into refereeing the men's adult game as well as the ladies game. And, you know, there are still a few about, but in my opinion, I'd like to see a few more ladies giving refereeing a go. And let's get out there and support them as much as we can, I say.
So, hello to you. If you are a referee of the female variety, if you would like to come onto the podcast as a guest of ours, then why don't you drop us a line through the website? Go to refereesworld.co.uk, click on the contact section, and it'll be great to get you on as a guest and tell us about your uprising as a referee. So on this episode, this is one between me and Rich, back to basics, back to how it all began. No special guest today, just me and you, Rich, and doing another quick review on the first game back after lockdown. So this game back was actually very different in the approach to what a game back after being out of the game for 4 years was, if that makes any sense, because of the nature of the build-up to it, everybody wanting to get back to football, and the fact that there was potential for all sorts of potential sort of crunches and bumps and so on and so forth.
Yeah, sure there was. I mean, lots of excitement, both as a match official as well as being a player, to be able to get out of the house and run around. And, you know, it's almost like going back to school days, isn't it, out in the playground.
So the game that I had was Minehead AFC versus Norton Fitzwarren. Norton Fitzwarren is like a suburb of Taunton. So it was a good game. It was a good game of standard of football. 2:30 kickoff on Saturday that's just gone by. And the weather was beautiful. So, yeah.
Yeah, let's break it down. Normally, if I was doing a debrief on a game of football with the referee, I'd look to take around about 10 minutes, maximum 15, depending on the match situation as regards incidents, key match decisions and things like that. So it'd be a maximum 15 minutes, but we'll elaborate a little bit because we're doing a podcast. But let me ask you straight away, Darren, what was your approach as regards setting yourself up for the game? When did you get your kit bag ready? What did you eat? What did you drink before the game? You know, half a day, days before the game.
I knew you were going to ask that. And one lesson I have learned come off the back of this game, which I'll go into in just a moment. So
don't eat KFC.
No. I'll reveal it in just a sec. But the league was officially announced as null and void. So they've set up one of many, I suspect, COVID cups. So it was the COVID cup in this particular area. We're based in Somerset, by the way, just in case you're wondering. So it was a round of the COVID cup. I started to prep the night before. One thing I didn't do, actually, was polish my boots, Rich, which you would have been absolutely disgusted about.
Well, how do you clean your boots? Let's be really picky.
Right, how do I clean my boots? Normally
what do you clean them with?
Okay, so normally what I would do is I would clean them in the shower after a game and just get them all sort of cleaned up there because that's when it's easiest to remove all the mud. And then when I get home, I fill them up with like newspapers and stuff like that to dry out and put them on the radiator.
And you do it in the showers at the club?
Yeah, obviously I sort of pick up the mud and stuff. Not all the time, it depends on how cold the showers are.
You covered yourself very quickly there. I pick up the mud because, like I say, we're a guest at those clubs, and to use the showers or the sink, the basin, the wash hand basin to clean your boots, I think is a no-no personally.
Okay, slap wrist there.
So take a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Otherwise, I would bring them home and then I would shove them under the outside tap in the back garden and clean them that way. But anyway, so I started to get everything ready. I checked all the bits in my box sort of the day before. I just made sure the whistle was working, the watches were all good. I just made sure that I had everything there, had some Jaffa cakes, had plenty of water, had a banana in there as well for good measure. Just made sure that I had all my kit, my Under Armour, and just sort of went through the routine in my head, really.
Let's break it down a little bit. How much water do you normally consume?
I tend to drink a fair bit through the course of the morning and on the way, but then during the actual game, I probably have half a litre through the course of the game. I don't like to drink too much because it churns around in my tummy.
What about preparation 24 hours before?
Yeah, I drink plenty of water sort of the day before. I did have a couple of beers the night before. Not excessive. but what I did do, what I was alluding to just now, what I did do was for lunch before I left, I had a steak and it was a steak pie with Stilton cheese in it. Mate, I can sense the disgust in the tone of voice that you're about to mention. And do you know what? For the whole game, it repeated on me for the whole game.
You made your statement and answered and made my comment for me. But yeah, come on. Steak pie and Stilton before a game of football. What are you doing, you know? Yeah. Listeners, I want to say, do not follow suit here. what we're trying to establish some good practice. And Darren's just gone the opposite direction.
I'm not doing very well, am I? Dirty boots, no. Steak and cheese pie.
yeah, you'll be talking about a bag of chips next.
I wouldn't normally go down the approach that I have taken, but for some reason I did this particular weekend.
I would never have come on the podcast and told listeners what you actually did. Embarrassing, Darren. Take a naughty boy, sit on the naughty boy step.
Right, okay. So
let's get into this game.
Go on then, okay.
Let's go to the game itself. Pre-match, what did you do pre-match? Did you do a little warm-up?
Yep.
Give me an idea.
Okay, so it was a 2:30 kickoff. I arrived at 2:45. When I got there, I went and introduced myself to the teams, said hello, and made them aware that I was here. They let me have a change room because all the other guys were changing outside. But luckily, in Minehead, they got this brand new building. I think I was probably one of the first referees to use this new change room facility, which I actually took a little bit of a video of and put it up on our YouTube channel, which you can have a look at. So that was quite nice. And I went in, got changed, went out and did my usual standard warm-up. And I always start off by running a lap of the field of play. I always run around the field of play because while I'm doing it, I can just see what's going on, get a feel of what the pitch is like. As I'm running past, I can just quickly check the nets, check the flags are all okay, and then I go and do my shuttles. So
that's a nice casual way to get around to it. What do you do in your shuttles? What sort of things are you doing? Stretching?
Yeah, I do the high knees. I do the stretches, the hamstring walk. I do bum flicks, ankle flicks, side steps, both sides, some skipping.
Morecambe and Wise?
Morecambe and Wise, where you always look ridiculous doing it, but it's actually one of those good ones. Oh, open and shut the gate, both ones of those.
Yeah.
So by the time I've done that, oh, and then one of the things that I do is I do a sprint from the goal line to the halfway line. So I start off, I do it in thirds. So I start off with a gentle jog. Then when I get to the edge of the goal area, I then pick it up a pace. And then when I get halfway between there and the centre of the field, I then sprint. And then when I get to the halfway line, I just let it ease down to a slow jog, walk to the end of the field, and then do exactly the same but in the other direction.
Okay, nothing strenuous. How long does it take? About 10 minutes?
I was going to say it's about a 10-minute, yeah.
Good. Okay. You're conditioning yourself for the start of the game, aren't you? You know, getting cardio and breathing, everything going. So that's a good prep. Good prep. I like that. Okay, into the game itself. Just minutes before the game, you're going to brief the assistant referees. Did you have club assistant referees on this occasion?
So as we discussed a couple of episodes ago, it was club assistant referees. And I've got to say, the away team, they provided one of those golden nuggets of an assistant referee. He was outstanding. He wasn't a substitute player. He was there as their affiliated assistant referee. They were a very well-organised team, as were Minehead. They didn't have a specific assistant referee. They used their subs, but again, two very good footballing teams. So just before I went to the centre circle, I was just about to blow the whistle. You like this one, Rich? And instead of having a coin, I've got a black and white disc, and I think we've talked about this before. So instead of doing heads or tails, I do black or white on the black and white disc. And I was just about to blow the whistles to call them in. Pocket check. Ah, it's not there. And I could have used blades of grass or something like that, but I can't because of my routine. It would have thrown me if it didn't have my coin in my pocket. So it's like a bit of a good luck charm, if you like. So I ran in, got myself a little bit of extra exercise and extra warm-up, ran back to the change rooms, got my disc, come back, blew the whistle, called the captains in with the assistants, and then I did what we talked about a couple of episodes ago.
Okay. Well, let me just penalise your forgetfulness of not taking out your disc to toss the coin.
That's three. That's three, isn't it? Three strikes.
Well, in what we would do, if we were still at the RA meeting, we would impose a fine for that, 20 pence.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a 20 pence fine, so please, you know, have your 20 pence ready for the first meeting.
I'll put it in the beer jar.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the game itself. Do you say anything to the captains?
Before the start of the game?
At the coin toss.
Toss. Yeah, I did my usual spiel that we talked about previously, so I did the assistant referees first. They then went to their positions, and then I did my usual spiel to the captains.
Do you think the captains listened to you?
Absolutely, yeah. They were very good. They were very good, and they were very responsive through the whole game.
Okay, I want to say that's not always the case, though, is it?
No, I think more than anything, they were just keen and really delighted to get back out on the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah, let's use the situation in a positive way. And that sounds like a nice start. So let's up and at them now. So how did the game go, in your opinion?
All in all, I would say the game went really well.
That's not enough.
Okay. Yeah, I think...
How big a pitch is it? What size is it? Does it slope? How does it slope?
Okay,
top to bottom, side to side?
Minehead is a big pitch, and it has got a slope on it as well. And it slopes from side to side, so it's quite a run when you need to run, which means obviously play is there's a lot of high long balls because of the nature of the pitch, as opposed to playing on the ground. I'm glad that I'd been keeping up my running throughout lockdown, although I definitely wasn't up to match fitness. And as you know, running and keeping fit is very different to having good match fitness.
There's nothing that can replace match fitness, Dan.
No.
You know, you can run, the streets, run around a racetrack, you know, have your own equipment at home to work on. But there's nothing like match experience itself. So consequently, was the grass long, short, well cut?
It was. It had recently just been cut, but it wasn't really short. It wasn't crew cut stuff.
So how did the ball run?
The ball ran okay, but because there was also quite a breeze on the day, it wasn't just a case of tapping it and let it go a long way. You'd have to, you know, you'd have to give it a little bit of a chunk.
Yeah. Okay. And where did the breeze come from? End to end or across the pitch?
Across the pitch.
Okay. How difficult did that make it for movement and for the players' control of the ball?
I think the players controlled it quite well, actually. There wasn't too much in the way of long high passes. As I mentioned earlier on, they were sort of keeping it quite tight.
Okay. The reason I'm asking all these questions is I want the listeners not to necessarily listen to what Darren Cullen did on his first game back, but for them to take away all these background questions as regards how we might prepare for a game and what we should be looking at. Because there's a lot of first-time listeners, there's a lot of new referees out there that don't have these experiences, don't often referee on such a big pitch that slopes side to side and it's got a wind. Did the wind come across the pitch up the hill or down the hill?
I think it was a bit swirly, so... And it wasn't...
Swirly?
Yeah, it was...
What sort of word is swirly,
that's
Dan?
That's a great word, isn't it?
All right.
All right. It was a bit swirly. I mean, it wasn't horrific. It didn't ruin the game, put it that way.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good, because, like I say, with the swirling wind, did it make it difficult to judge the drop-in ball, that sort of thing?
No, I think only when the ball did go high, perhaps on a couple of the goal kicks, but then that was a mixture of the goalkeeper not firing it straight as well. So,
okay, yeah, all right. I mean, there's all sorts of things that impact, you know, with the weather on a game, and this being the first game back on the restart, it's you know, there can be a little bit additional frustration from not having played football for 4 months. Then when they get out there, the conditions, the pitch, the weather, all play a part on their thought process and their ability to get involved. Let's talk about the game itself. Let me talk about some incidents. Have you got any incidents you wish to share with us?
The only noticeable incident was 4 minutes before the end of the game, and that was a shout for a penalty kick. The action sort of really, really picked up a bit in the last 4 minutes of the game because there was a call for a penalty, and I didn't actually see what happened because I had two or three players in my way, okay? And when they shouted for a penalty, I said no. I was actually going to award a corner to Minehead, but they wanted the penalty. I said, I'm sorry, I can't give. I didn't see it.
I want to stop you there, because to say that you had players in your way as a referee, I don't think that's a very good excuse. You know, we're there to create the best view for ourselves, to make the best of the optimum view. And if we're standing still, we are not creating an angle, because the angles that players use are not the same as ours, but we've got to make an angle so we can see the challenges. And if you've got players blocking you and say, sorry, I can't see it because you're in my way, well, if I was a player, I'd turn around and say, move yourself then, you know. And as a coach, as a mentor, as your mate, I would say that you've got to find the optimum view. And I would say that to all of our referees that are listening, find the optimum view. Don't be content to turn around and say to players, sorry, you blocked my view. That's not good enough. You know, we should be taking a bit more of a responsible approach to finding the optimum view and helping, you know, our own performance. It enhances our own performance when we've got credibility. You said there was a penalty appeal. You couldn't see it. What did you actually do?
So they appealed for the penalty. I then said that I didn't see it, I can't give it, but there is a corner that's been awarded, which is what I was going to award, because that's what I saw. Luckily, I didn't get too much aggro for that, but then the keeper came over to me and said, "Ref, you might want to look across and see your lino." He's got his flag up, and the lino, the assistant referee in question, was the one that I mentioned earlier on who was outstanding for the whole of the game. So he was standing there, as I had asked him during our debrief, hold the flag in position until I see you. And that's what he did. So when I saw that, I went over and I had a chat with him and I said, what have you seen? He said it was offside before the player went down when he called for the penalty. I said, are you sure about that? Absolutely positive. I said, mate, you've been outstanding for the whole game. I've got no reason to disbelieve what you say or even question what you said. So we'll restart the game with an indirect free kick as an offside decision. And that's how I did it. And do you know what? I didn't get any jip for it at all. I was really surprised.
Did the offside come before the appeals for the penalty kick?
It came before the penalty kick, but I hadn't seen it because that was what I was saying. Right. Because he'd obviously had it up at the time when the attacker went forward to get the ball before he was tripped or before he fell or whatever happened.
That was a get out of jail card, wasn't it?
It was really. But no, I think I dealt with it. I was aware that my patrol path through the game was going to be a little dodgy, particularly in the second half. So that's obviously what I've taken out of this.
I'm being a little bit tough on you, but because it is the first game back after 4 months. So, but like I say, what I want to do between us is raise the awareness to our listeners about the things that we should be looking for as we get back into good routines as match officials.
I know we've always talked about managing your profile, managing the game. Because of the nature of the game, I think was when you go into these first games back, don't be whistle happy, just manage your way through it. So there were two challenges through the game where I potentially could have given you a yellow card. But I wanted to go with because of the nature of the game, it was a good-natured game. There were no real issues. I just didn't see the game. I didn't see the point in giving cautions sort of 7 or 8 minutes before it finished. I just don't think that would have done me any favours at all.
I think you can call that game empathy, Doug. Mm. You know, player empathy, game management. And I would go along with that because, like I say, I don't want to watch our colleagues returning to football and then start talking about, oh, I had a great game today. We had 3 yellows and 2 reds. That's not a great game. Hmm. That's not a great game. A great game involves the performance that you're proud of. And to say that you're proud of 3 yellows and 2 reds, that type of thing, I'm not sure what the motivation is for match officials to consider that as a great game. Let me ask one last question before we close on this particular one. What made you decide, and what were his assets regarding the assistant referee that you said was outstanding?
If you recall in the previous episodes where we talked about assistant referees or club linos, I think I mentioned the fact that I would get an idea as to their standard within the first 10 to 15 minutes of the game by the way they position themselves, their body language, the way they hold the flag. Did they hold the flag in the way that I'd requested? Were they doing that thing where they held it and held it high, gave me a big flag? Or were they doing one of these sort of soppy things where you put it over your shoulder or just not concentrating on the game because they didn't want to be there? And he delivered the goods all the way through.
Good. I mean, I like the way in which you describe how the assistant referee came across to you. Certain little things that he did and how he did it. Those are important things. Mm. And if that gives you confidence as a referee, I think you can reciprocate that and, you know, work together. That's the message, isn't it, you know?
OK, then before we wind this one up then, Rich, is there anything else you want to pick and prod at me with following this game?
I'm looking forward to Saturday's little run out. Because we're going over the hills to Hemlock, aren't we?
Yeah, so we've got another game, and Rich is going to be there as a mentor and be recording some bits for the podcast. We're also going to be speaking to the manager of the home team, who's called Sam Idden, who is actually a referee himself, and he's also gone the other way. He's now gone from refereeing to managing a football team. So that's quite an interesting change around. It'll be interesting to see what his take is on both sides.
Sam, we're on our way.
OK then, Rich, thank you very much for your wise words once again, and of course the half a dozen or so rollickings that I've had for my severe lack of preparation in certain areas, like not polishing my boots and eating steak and Stilton pies an hour and a half before a game. By the way, thank you very much much for all the downloads we're getting. We're sort of averaging around 300 or so downloads a day at the moment, which is amazing. So thank you very much for doing that. You can listen on your podcast provider, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podomatic, whatever. There's loads of places where you can download the feed to the Referees World podcast. And now on the YouTube as well. We've got a YouTube channel. So if you want to like and subscribe to that, we place all the podcasts up on there as well. We've got a whole back catalogue of around 74 of them now. So you can go back as far as 11 years when we first started the Referees World podcast.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.